Skype of Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Flotsam and Jetsam, Inheritance.
The hospital. I was thinking that the burn unit probably had lots of fun with Mr. Yarborough and Mr. Ferrier.
I hope so.
And Miss LaForge probably had to maybe spend some time talking through things.
I suspect there was a little bit of that, yeah.
I don't know, Jim, if you want to put your hit points back where they were. Go ahead.
I would love to. The question is, will you let me?
Yes, sometime. As you see, I have advanced the clock to spring of 1925. Yes, some time has spent in hospital. I think during your stay there, Sean, has your character introduced herself to our other characters?
Yeah, so I think she would have gone to the... she would have known what David was up to, and gone to the hospital, sort of wandered around, eventually would have, maybe she's seen, Mr. Yarborough or, Miss LaForge around campus. So recognize them. And, would have inquired.
From the library.
Yes, exactly. Would have asked them what happened to her fiance. Have you seen David Crane? I think he was supposed to be with you.
Hero.
Oh no. And then she will leave you and sometime later come back when she's collected herself to ask him for more details.
Excellent.
That nonchalant way you were like, yep, she's dead.
Well, I'm sure that Mr. Cleaver also made his way to Arkham to attend services for Dr. Kent.
Cleaver being the editor of Strange But True.
Yes.
Ah, right.
Angela looks really good in black. She would have been dressed entirely in black and would have met Mr. Cleaver.
I'm very sorry, my dear.
He was trying to save some people. That was just his way.
I have been told that he was quite the hero.
That's what I'm told as well. Did he work for you?
He was on an assignment for me. I'm the editor of the newspaper Strange But True.
Oh. Are you hiring? Because this funeral is rather expensive and he doesn't have any insurance. It's...
Anything, my dear, to help you in your time of distress.
Oh, that would be lovely. Here, she will hand him a card and just call me anytime you need me.
Lovely, lovely. Well, it isn't long after that that you all get a call from Mr. Cleaver.
Hardy lines.
He asks if you are up to getting back to work, Mr. Yarborough. Mr. Ferrier?
Absolutely. I thought this was a steady paying job, but you haven't been returning my calls, mister.
Well, I thought you would be healing up, but...
That's true, but I'm ready for another story.
Lovely. In that case, I do have something I wish you to investigate, and since you are familiar with the area... Perhaps Miss Riley and Miss LaForge can join you again. And I would like you to, here we go, think. Look into, well, an obituary for me. I keep an eye on, let's just say, people of advanced age. And Miss Nolan here has interested me greatly. And I would like you here. Let me give you the most current picture I have of Miss Nolan.
Emily Nolan, aged 100, Innsmouth. Emily Nolan, believed to be 100 years old, died last Saturday night at her home. Mrs. Nolan was in ill health following an assault that left her legs broken. A pillar of the Innsmouth community, Mrs. Nolan gave generously to local good works. Her funeral was conducted in accordance with family wishes. The reading of Mrs. Nolan's last will and testament will take place at her home on Friday, April 21st, 4 p.m. Members of the community wishing to pay tribute are welcome. She is survived by four children, all of Innsmouth, Miss Chastity Nolan, Mrs. Wilma Martin, Mr. August Nolan, and Mr. Edward Nolan, and over 30 grandchildren in Innsmouth and beyond.
Yes.
So am I to understand that someone assaulted a 100-year-old woman so that she can no longer use her legs?
I believe that is what we have read, yes.
My God, what animals.
And I've done a little research on Miss Nolan, and I think that she was a little closer to 120.
Well.
So it,
Innsmouth, you say?
Yes, I know some of you have been to its near neighbor, Ipswich. But,
yeah. It seems there were some strange goings on in Innsmouth.
We've met some of those people from Innsmouth.
Indeed. Yes, I would caution you to be careful with the locals.
Yes, they rescued us, I think, last time.
Oh, well then maybe they're not so bad.
Well,
Well, I'd really like the truth behind Nolan's life, her death, any strange links that you might find in the Innsmouth community. Some interviews with her children. If you could go to the reading of the will, then you could maybe investigate her house. There have been some strange talks of deaths linked with her. I find it most strange. I would like to find the truth.
Of course.
Yes, I guess we could go to the funeral service, although I don't know what we'll do if someone asks.
Well, the funeral is open to the community. It depends who's the community.
Oh, sorry. Her funeral was conducted. It's the reading of the will. I don't think that's open to the community.
Members of the community wishing to pay tribute are welcome.
How odd.
Yes.
Well, all right. I guess we could go and pay tribute.
How are the press?
Yeah.
Opens many doors. We can just say we're writing an article about her.
Perhaps we shouldn't say the name of the publication. That might be seem a little disrespectful at a funeral.
What?
Mr. Cleaver.
I'm sorry, but your name is a little odd for a funeral. I don't want to make people cry more.
She's new to the newspaper biz. Don't worry about her, Eddie. She'll come around. And Jacob tries to smoke one of the new cigarettes he's been cultivating.
Keep it up, boys. It'll keep your lungs clear.
It's for my health.
For your health.
Well, I guess we could go. What day? Day is the early spring.
So today is April 3rd.
So we have 3 weeks.
No, I'm sorry.
April 20th?
It's 19th? April 6th in the obituary.
Perfect. So
the 21st is the will.
The will, right.
Right, I'm sorry. So it will be, April 19th.
Okay. I assume the year is
24.
But the obituary is 24.
Well, because it's...
Well, you know.
They waited
that's the
a year.
Handout.
Don't ask too many questions.
The newspaper has some editor issues.
Speaking of questions, I have a question for the keeper, if I might.
Yes.
Because given the tenor of the things of what the editor keeps sending us on, Archie is becoming a little suspicious of the editor himself.
Really?
So I am curious. Was there an article written about the whole kerfluffle with the sodas? And if so, kind of what was in the article? What was left out? What was the tenor of it?
I would say that he took your notes and he did write an article. It was more about the explosion at Bolton Brewing Company. Mysterious ingredients may have had incendiary effects. certainly not blaming his stellar reporters or any car bombs or dynamite. And since the Walshes were not found, kind of leaving that up in the air.
So the article is more just, pedantically salacious.
Yes.
Not kind of going into the weirdness and the strangeness and strange creatures and transformations caused by the soda and that sort of thing.
Well, I would say that the as all of the transformations wore off with time, there wasn't much evidence.
And evidence is apparently important to this editor. That's a good question, I guess, huh?
Did you say all the effects wore off with time?
They did.
Mm-hmm. Stanley's back! Great!
Did you really have doubts?
That's awesome.
So, yes, if there's anything you wish to add to the newspaper article, Mr. Cleaver is... really happy to have you write the article, and he will just put it in the paper.
Oh, no. No, I ain't any kind of writer. Photographer, yes, but no kind of writer.
Well, Mr. Farrier, then you're going to have to provide me with a few more photographs.
Pretty sure I've been taking lots of photographs of everyone.
We got some nice pictures of the of Charles Walsh right before the explosion, I believe, that day. Strangely enough.
That's true.
Well, Jacob is writing everything he can and putting it on the editor's desk. He's hoping to get paid by the word, but he understands the editorial business.
I suppose that all seems fine for now, but if he's sending us back to Innsmouth, if there's more weirdness here, I'm definitely going to have to start looking into this editor.
Well, it is strange, but true.
Right, but what's odd about that is that the article he wrote about something that was strange and true was not strange
or true.
It was true. It was true. I mean, there was sort of some elements in there you would think, as if this is, you know, the Weekly World News or one of those, they absolutely would have focused on, you know, the weird stuff and not the explosion. That would have been covered in the regular paper. That can't be feeding the appetite of his readership.
It's coming across more as just a tabloid than, you know, strange but true, than the than Fortean, let's say.
You've had a death. But anyway, I'm gonna do some research because that's what I do.
That's what you do. What do you wish to research, Miss Riley?
Well, I want to. I have several names here. I've got five names. The deceased and her four children.
Indeed.
Library use. See what happens. And I have 2 days, apparently, right? Or at least a whole day. So do you want me to roll, or?
Oh, yes. I'm okay. Sorry, I thought you were rolling.
No, just picking up the old bad dice. Ooh, a 0-2 to start off.
All right. Use them up now. You won't need them later.
No presents.
Yesterday's game where I couldn't get anything below an 80. So that's probably an extreme success with her library use. Oh, yeah. It's a super subscribe, super extreme.
All right. So you're looking up just Miss Nolan, or are you looking up more about Innsmouth?
I'm looking at Miss Nolan and her four deceased children. Four surviving.
Not deceased.
Yeah.
You actually find out that she had an additional 2 sons that died several years ago. The reason for their deaths is not recorded. You see some in the Ipswich Inquirer. You see a few clippings about there might have been birth recordings. You read about Wilma Nolan's marriage to a Mr. Chester Martin. You don't find anything about Miss Chastity, although you do find out that Chastity and Wilma are twins. You can kind of go back you find at least some records to her till about 1810.
That's a little older than 100 years old.
Indeed.
Wait, there are records about her up to 1810?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. You might see little snippets, the sisters of the Order of Dagon wish to welcome their new members, and they go through various, you know, young ladies who have been entered into the order, or announcing the births of her various children.
So was she already like a teenager in 1810 by this implication?
It is ambiguous, but she's not a child.
Okay. So at least a teenager, or at least not 10 or something, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And do her children seem similarly aged? Or they, I mean, so she has children. Yes. She's very old. Are they also like, you know, spring chickens at 80 and 90?
Yes. By your reckoning, Wilma and Chastity must be in their early 90s. Her youngest son, Edward, is a very spry 48.
So she was 70 when she had, at least 70 when she had him.
Indeed.
Well, more power to her.
Sorry, are there pictures of Wilma and Chastity in the paper?
There are not.
Okay.
There's also an August Nolan. He is the oldest surviving son at age 56.
And are there any marriages that are announced that sort of, I mean, for Wilma and Chastity's father, are they all the same father, we think, or we think there's multiple fathers? Or at least two fathers.
They all have the last name of Nolan. And
right. Wilma married into the Martins family, I thought, right, you said? Yeah.
Right.
Okay, right. So
and Emily did not change her name ever from Nolan. Although she was born a Nolan?
No, I don't. Let me turn this way. No, she was not born a Nolan. She did marry a Nolan.
So, but if I'm looking in the Sisters of the Order of Dagon announcements about the new ladies in there, if it's under her name, is she married as a teenage bride or she was older when she was brought in?
Okay.
Right.
One of those would be true.
Yep.
And we don't know. We assume that her husband is not alive only because he's not listed in the surviving.
Right.
As a survivor.
Yep.
Correct.
Hola.
Okay. Well, I will pass all these clippings and whatnot on to the, or notes for these clippings. The crew.
Did we ever figure out how the two kids that had died, or did you, not me, sorry, figure out how the two children of hers that had passed on, how that happened? Like, were they 100 years old and died themselves, or?
That's a good question. Do we know how old they were when they died? It says
died by violence.
Drowning.
It is not mentioned.
Well, okay, so yeah, and it could be anywhere from, you know, 90 to 50 or 48 or so, or even, I guess, younger. So, okay.
While Angela was doing that, I was actually interested to see if I can find some information from the police blotter or if I have to go there, maybe take Archie or whoever wants to come with me to figure out what the assault was that injured her legs of a 100-year-old woman, what that was like, what the report was like. I'd rather do it from, you know, New York if I can pick up the blotter or some information or something like that. But if I have to drive, I'll pass the word.
There is nothing reported about this.
Archie, you've got a car. Well, no, wait. Unless the insurance covers car bombs, that's right.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure David left the keys to his car in there, so.
That's right. He probably, well, I don't know where he would have left them, but.
The car is on my expense report for the, to the paper.
To the paper, nice.
Good luck on that.
Per diem plus expenses. That was an expense.
Well, if we have another car, I'd like to go on down. If not, I would, you know, definitely talk to Archie since he's used to talking to these cops and say I'm interested in going down and researching this assault. What do you say?
Yeah, New York's not going to have anything on the assault on some old lady.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens here 10 times a day. They don't need to copy reports from anywhere else.
I just this here. Morning, as I was getting breakfast, I saw an old lady getting assaulted at the end of the corner.
There you go.
And then I walked in and had my eggs.
And then I looked up from the mirror, and there I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with you. Why not?
All right, so Mr. Ferrier and Mr. Yarborough are headed to Innsmouth early.
Yep.
I think so, yeah. Just to kind of check on that, then we'll all go down together day of.
Well, we might as well just stay there and wait for the others.
I guess that's true. Anna Sells, are you interested or want to wait for Miss Angela?
I can certainly meet you if you like and make sure we have a nice place to stay. Yes.
Okay.
I will find a ride.
There is a bus.
A bus. Very good. From New York or from Arkham?
From Arkham.
Okay.
That will leave you off in downtown Innsmouth.
Okay.
Because we've never read any bad stories that started with someone taking a bus to Innsmouth.
Right.
Okay, I'm on it. who is the name of the people from Innsmouth? Mm-hmm. Let's see here. There's LaForge. It was the person, the grocery guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Archie LaForge.
Oh, that was delivering groceries in the old shack.
Vehicle arrives. Here it is.
Yep, to the wife or to the mother of the
Dr. Kent Jacob, Mr. Ferry LaForge. Here we are. Mr. Elliot. It was the Elliot family.
Hmm.
Elliot offers a friendly warning that they should leave town, and he drives away from town towards Innsmouth. And then, let's see, who else did we see? Those were the folks making moonshine.
Should definitely stop in and say hello to the grocery.
That's right.
He suggested we leave Ipswich. We left Ipswich, so
he'll be happy to see us, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll review my notes from that, my diary from the first, and head out to Innsmouth to meet up with Ferrier and Yarborough while Angela finishes her library studies.
Okay.
Or starts her library studies, I guess.
Did we settle the issue of the car? Do we have one, or is everybody on the bus? I'm okay either way, but I feel like we should figure that out before we get there.
We may have Mr. Kent's car.
We could have Mr. Kent's car?
He's not using it.
That's true. That's true. Let's hope Angela doesn't recognize it.
Perfect. All right. So you arrive in lovely, lovely Innsmouth. It is really run down. It is the whole place seems rather empty. You don't see it's a gray, overcast day. It's drizzling slightly, yet there don't seem to be many lights on in any of the windows as you drive into downtown or take the bus, the Forge. And you get to the police station. It's a little squat brick building. And there you are.
Do we see Elliot's grocery?
Sure. Yes, across the street there is a rather uninviting looking one-story clapboard building. You see rats frolicking on the front porch. And the little sign says, closed for deliveries.
Is there a something that seems like an inn in Innsmouth?
Sure. You find a small hotel. It is in the downtown. It is the one thing that I did not seemingly copy was the map. I thought I was doing so good. the town has a nice harbor, or you would think it'd be a nice harbor. There's a natural bay. Manuxet River runs through the town. Several places the town is divided in a north and south by the Manuxet River. The downtown is to the north, and it's maybe two blocks away from the harbor and the bay. So the entire town has a smell of the sea. You book yourself in a small inn called the Sea Dog, and the owner is a suspicious, pop-eyed little woman. Staying long, are we?
I think we are here for 3 or 4 days, yes. Hmm. To get some sea air.
Oh, yes. The sea air is lovely this time of the year. I love the spring storms.
Ah. I did not know about them. That will be quite exciting.
Yes, they're invigorating. That's what I would say. Invigorating.
Ah, very nice. What do you recommend we do for the dinners?
I do offer meals here. Otherwise, are some seafood shacks down at the bay, or you could Yes, I think there is a diner across the way. It's not open very late, so if you want provisions, you could probably make inquiries at the Elliott Grocery Store.
Ah, yes, I saw that it was closed, but perhaps he will be open later. He's a very nice man, Mr. Elliott.
Oh, yes, yes. The Elliots, they're a very old family in town.
Ah. And what is your name? Mrs.
Mark.
Mark. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
I am LaForge.
Ah, yes, yes, I see here, Miss LaForge. Lovely. What brings you to Innsmouth, may I ask?
Well, mostly, as I say, the air, but I believe that some of my friends are planning to pay trip to pay tribute to Mrs. Nolan, who passed away recently.
She turns a little bit frosty at that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. You do not get on well with her.
Oh, I can't say that I ever spoke with Emily Nolan myself. I am. Yeah. Never.
I mean, I don't know who she is, but obviously I'm just here for the weather.
Ah. Ah, well, I would say that we didn't run in the same circles.
Ah, I see. What circles does she run in?
Well, let's just say maybe she thought she was bigger and better than it turns out that she really was. But let's not speak ill of the dead.
Of course not, yes. We all know people like that.
Indeed, indeed. Well, do enjoy your visit.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Yarborough, Mr. Ferrier.
Yes'm. We stride boldly into the police office, I believe.
I let Yarborough stride boldly, and I will saunter behind him.
Striding and sauntering you are.
Then I turn and smile and hold my hand out and watch the experienced Archie at work once again as he does his cop talk to the locals.
Oh, no, Mr. Yarborough. This is your show.
Okay. Thanks, Archie. It's good to know you got so much confidence in me. Do you proud? Striding even more boldly, he goes up to the officer of the watch's desk, says, "Hello there."
Hello.
How are you? My name's Jacob Yarborough. Work for a paper in New York City. Hold out the strange but true card very quickly and bring it back. We're doing a nice article tomorrow on the life of Emily Nolan. And I understand before she passed so sadly recently, she had a little bit of an accident. I was wondering if they might speak with someone who was here about that.
His watery blue eyes narrow, and he looks you both up and down, and he's just like, "You're writing a newspaper article?"
Sneak a look at Archie and give him the thumbs up. It's going perfectly.
I apologize. I apologize, officer.
Seem to be
I believe there's been
prominent
some
citizen.
Confusion.
Did I lose everyone? I did, didn't I?
No,
I'm not with you. No.
Interesting. We can hear you, but you might not be able to hear us.
All right, I can hear you guys now. Sorry.
No, it's good to have you guys talking over each other. It was actually in character.
Yeah, pretty good.
He shakes his head a minute as you guys start to talk over each other, and he's just like, "Excuse me?"
Wow.
So, yes, it's a woman of such renown as Miss Nolan. You know, not too many centenarians that are out there. I understand she was 100 years old. Boy, I hope to live to be that old. A lot of happy years. Just kind of more of a human interest story.
What does that have to do with the police?
Well, I understand she had an accident. It was in the Ipswich obituary that she had a little bit of an accident a few days earlier. I mean, golly, geez, who would want to hurt a nice old woman of her age? Seems like she hurt her legs in some type of assault or something.
I think there must have been a misprint. As far as I know, Miss Nolan died peacefully in her home.
Well, sure, but that was a few days afterwards.
Mm-hmm. He looks you up and down. He's just like, where did you say you were from?
New York City.
New York City.
Yes, I see.
Perhaps you should go back there.
Well, maybe if we could just have a few words with the detective. I'm sure, you know, being an officer of the watch, you know, you or the front desk man here, you've got a lot of experience and everything, but maybe the actual detectives who would have handled the case would be the people to speak with. Maybe we could speak with one of them.
I'm going to step in at this point and kind of grab Yarborough by the arm and pull him back away from the desk and step in front of him.
Indeed.
And you are absolutely right, officer. I do apologize for my young colleague here. He is a little bit ridiculous. We'll be out of your hair directly. And I'm going to pull Yarborough out of the station with me.
What are you doing, Archie? I had him right where I wanted him. He was going to bring us the detectives who would have found everything out.
He was going to bring you somewhere, kid. Somewhere I don't think you want to be.
Indeed. So, you might see the officer watching you from behind his desk.
So until, I look up and down the streets and think what next to do and say, well, the Ipswich Inquirer is not here in Innsmouth. It's in Ipswich, right?
Correct.
We can't speak to the person who did that, but maybe we can. Is there a local paper actually in Innsmouth? The Innsmouth Inquirer, perhaps?
We have a car, and Ipswich is not that far away.
That's true.
So, yes, I would be curious as to, I would want to talk to the Ipswich Inquirer now, because I'm curious as to where this information about an assault came from and what they know, because clearly the police are not going to share anything with us.
Right.
So, yes, I think we are in the car and we are driving the, whatever it is, 2 or 3 miles to Ipswich.
Yes, you might remember that you spoke to an Edward Titcomb. He was the editor of the Ipswich Inquirer.
Yeah, I thought we had a contact or two there already.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yes, and it's just, if you remember, the road between Ipswich and Innsmouth is rather bad. So it takes you longer than you would expect to get there. But when you roll into the cheerful town of Ipswich, you do find the offices of the Inquirer open. And Mr. Titcomb is glad to see you both back. He's just like, oh, are you here to in pursuit of more moon men?
Little old ladies this time. Little old ladies.
Little old... Okay. How can I help you, gentlemen?
You published an article recently, or a year ago, one of those, on Emily Nolan?
The obituary, yes.
Yeah. Who wrote the obituary? Was it an editorial obituary, or did someone submit it?
Oh, it was submitted. I believe it was submitted by her her solicitor, Mr. Charlie Grace. His office is here in town, although I believe he is a native of Innsmouth.
Grace. And so he submitted the obituary and you ran it?
Yes.
Perfect. That's what we need to know.
Perfect. Miss Riley.
Do you know, happen to know, can you direct us to his offices?
He does. He gives you the address.
Okay.
Miss
Riley,
are there things that you wish to be doing before you join your friends in Innsmouth?
So they all took the car to go there. So I'll be taking the bus later on the day.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think when I get all the information, I'll take the bus, because nothing wrong with taking a bus to Innsmouth. It only goes in once a day, so it's got a time
limit. It never comes out.
It does, but the guy looks really creepy about it. There's no passengers that ever come out. Yeah, so I'm going to, whenever the bus leaves is when I will head over there, and you can tell me when that is.
Okay. So the bus leaves after lunch, and it does take you into the downtown. There are two or three other people on the bus. None of them talk to each other. And even the bus driver himself has kind of a pallid skin and a kind of a slack jaw look to him. As
do they all have this sort of odd look to them?
Yeah, you would say that there's some similarities between everyone on the bus.
Okay.
A look.
So yeah, when I get into town, I guess there's only really one place to stay, so I will go and book a room.
Yes.
I would have sent you a telegraph or something, if that's possible, to say that this is where we're staying and that we have rooms.
Well, it's where you're staying.
Well, my plan had been when you dropped me off, what I said was I'll get rooms for us, but you can choose to stay elsewhere. That's fine.
Yeah, at the moment I'm thinking
we're not staying here.
Well, it didn't occur to me until our little encounter with the police, but I think we're better off staying in Ipswich.
Okay.
So suspicious.
Being warned out of New England communities wherever we go. Perfect. Yeah, and I guess because I don't know where the tribute is being held, I guess I'll wander by and try to find this Order of the Dagon, something or other, that she's a sister of, assuming there'd be some sort of notice or something on a bulletin board or the like, letting people know when and where to be places.
Ah, yes, you do in the downtown. Across from City Hall, you see a rather imposing stone-clad building. It's got fluted columns, and it is listed as the Esoteric Order of Dagon, members only. But there is a bit of a bulletin board on the outside, and it has various announcements. Quilting bee to be held.
So the service or the memorial thing is tomorrow, I think, or maybe it's today. Mm-hmm. I kind of lost track of time. So I assume the address of where is this memorial thing being held?
Held at Miss Nolan's Manor House.
Okay. And are there any events happening tonight?
No.
Okay. Well, then, having received the telegram and not knowing where anybody else with, I will go back to my my room and open up a Bible and start reading.
Oh. And Miss LaForge, is there anything you wish to do while you are trapped there? I mean, staying in?
No, I think I have. Well, yeah, I mean, I'll see what the local eating establishments are like and so forth, but just, you know, some things are important.
Right. You find a little fish and chip shop, and the food is good, even if the service is surly.
Oh, nice. That's perfect. That is what we French really like.
There we go.
Good and surly service.
All right.
Feel right at home.
Right at home. So we'll go back to Mr. Yarborough and Mr. Ferrier.
To the solicitor's office.
Yes, Mr. Grace has a small office, not too far from the Ipswich Inquirer's office. It's a quick little walk over there, and he offers services. You see wills and bequests, things of that nature set up, and it's a tidy little building. And his a secretary greets you. Hello, gentlemen. How can I help you?
Good afternoon, Miss
Edwards.
Miss Edwards. Pleasure. Is Mr. Grace available?
Yes, I believe he is. No clients this afternoon. I'll be right back. And she, ducks her head around the corner, and you hear her chatting amiably. And she opens the door wide and beckons you in.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mr. Grace.
And you see, Mr. Grace, he is in his late 30s, and has a kind of pleasant demeanor. He's got short blonde hair, but his suit is fresh and pressed, and he looks a man ready to do business. Gentlemen, how can I help you?
Mr. Grace, pleasure to meet you. Archibald Ferrier, this is my assistant, Jacob Yarborough. We represent certain interests in New York who possibly have an interest in the Nolan estate, which I believe you are having a... the reading of the will tomorrow?
Indeed. He pauses. Mr. Yarborough?
Yes, this is Mr. Yarborough.
Yes. How do you do, Mr. Grace?
It's a pleasure to meet you. He sits down. I'm afraid I can't discuss any of the pieces of the will until tomorrow's reading.
Can I do some kind of psychology role on him taking an interest on me, particularly?
Mm-hmm.
That is a low number and a high roll, so no, that's a fail.
Well, of course not. I would not... expect you to. We will be at the reading of the will. I am curious, though, or my employers are curious as to how it was that Miss Nolan came to be in ill health. Your obituary mentioned something about an assault.
Yes. Well, it was really more of an accident. I think I may have reported that poorly.
So now I really want to use a psychology on him.
Yeah, I'm totally rolling psychology.
Please
on
do.
One.
The two of us lean in.
She's
part
like
success.
An elderly woman, and
another fail for Jacob.
Mr. Ferrier.
Hard success.
He is scrambling and uncomfortable. I think it was more of I would say an accident where, you know, an old woman's brittle bones. Quite honestly, it probably could have been anything. You know, she could have fallen or whatever, but it was just a bit of an accident on the street, and then she was taken home.
Well, of course, with the elderly, these things happen. Who can tell, really?
She lived a very full life, so yes.
Have you been Miss Nolan's solicitor long, or were you
no.
retained by the children?
No, Miss Nolan herself retained me about three weeks ago. She wanted to update her will. She did confess that she was felt poorly at the time and felt that things were her time was coming. She wanted to make a few changes to her will, you know, with it was an older will that she had. She had lost two children, and so she wanted to redistribute things appropriately, I believe. But that will be made clear tomorrow.
Did she seem to be in good health at the time?
Well, as I said, she said that she felt poorly. She was aged, but I thought she was surprisingly spry. Nothing out of the ordinary, but
Mr. Ferrier has a shockingly high skill in law.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to attempt to continuing my story of working for interests in New York, come up with some legal argument to get him to tell me what preferably to show me the will. let's just go with that, to be able to see the will, the official recorded proof of, you know, that sort of thing.
I see. Well, may make your roll.
Oh, 17. That is at least a hard success. It's only a hard success.
It was quite clearly laid out in Miss Nolan's wishes that there be a public reading. There are some feelings among her children, and she wanted to make sure that that everything was laid out for them together. I am uncomfortable with letting you see the will in advance, Mr. Ferrier.
I can live with you being uncomfortable, Mr. Grace. During the conversation, I would also like to be kind of scanning the room and watching him. Is there kind of any obvious kind of file cabinet or storage where he might keep such things?
Oh, there are filing cabinets, yes.
Okay.
And his desk there. It's not a large office. There aren't... it's very tidy. He's just like, I am just, and he kind of glances at you and he glances at Mr. Yarborough for a long moment. He's just like very uncomfortable with this. I feel that it is only fair to the family that everyone hears the will as a public announcement tomorrow. He gives you the address of Miss Nolan's manor house.
So you will be driving there tomorrow after. You will be driving over there tomorrow afternoon.
Yes.
Will you be here in your? Will you be here in your office in the morning? I will need to contact my employers and discuss things with them this evening, and I may want to come back and meet with you again in the morning.
Well, there will be an open house, I believe, for people who wish to pay their respects to the children. I was going to go rather early, but I can stop in here and be available until, say, 10 o'clock.
That would be just fine, thank you.
I appreciate your understanding and forbearance.
Have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
Come along, Jacob. And once we get back out on the street. So.
I don't trust Jacob. That guy, Archie.
You up for a little B&E this evening?
Oh, there's still some things you can teach me, I think. I'm ready to go. I'll, think it's too late to go back and get my my black sweater?
To go back to New York? Probably.
All right.
Well, perhaps you can buy something there in town.
Yes. I'll try not to wear my bright white one or yellow one.
Ladies.
Think of a more useful thing to do, perhaps, for a little while, which is to walk the town and look for either Nolan or Martin businesses.
You do not find either.
Okay.
And to tell you the truth, the town doesn't have many open businesses as it is. The only grocery that you see is the Elliott's, and there is a bank, the East India Marine Merchants Bank of Innsmouth, the town hall, the police station. But the town is really, really, there's a, Marsh refinery in, kind of the commercial area. There is a fuel stop, gas, wood, and coal. But they're really, you can't say is a downtown. You see very, very few people until quite late in the evening, despite the drizzle. Lights never really come on. In fact, you see a lot of the street lamps don't come on. It seems like many of them are broken. And the town is kind of just swathed in gloom. The people kind of are just bundled up against the rain and not overly friendly.
Huh. Right. Well, yeah, so I think I spend some hours doing that.
Yeah, you... It's a well laid out town. It's mostly on a grid, and you do get from there was an announcement on the outside of the Esoteric Order of Dagon that did list the address of Miss Nolan. for the tribute tomorrow. It is on kind of the southwest side of town. It's not a terrible walk. It's probably 15, 20 minutes. And
I can walk by the estate. That seems good.
The house must have been quite impressive in its heyday. 5 stories tall, but it looks like the top 3 stories are precarious at best, if not just some places disintegrating.
Oof. So a little bit less money now, huh?
Yeah, the whole place looks like it's falling to pieces. The neighboring homes are considerably less grand, but not in better upkeep.
What's wrong with this town?
Hard to say.
And no one will talk to me. Not beyond just sort of a casual sort of good day.
Are you trying specifically to pick up a conversation with somebody?
Yeah, I think I would like to know what's happened to the town and, you know, when it was, there was obviously had been money and something has gone down.
And where do you wish to instigate this conversation?
I think probably at the Fish and Chips, I guess, is probably the...
Okay. The waiter, when he, you know, offers you maybe some coffee and pie for dessert. We have a nice apple, miss, or a blueberry.
The apple would be quite nice, yes, thank you.
All right.
Where does these apples come from?
The apples? Oh.
Yes.
I think they come in the food delivery from the grocery store there.
Edwards. Elliot's.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they are a nice family. It seems they are the only ones still making business.
The Marshes have quite a few interests, but they've got the refinery.
What do they refine?
I don't know.
Oh, I see.
He's a rather young looking man. Not too scruffy looking compared to most of the others in town that you've seen.
Okay. You have lived here your life, yes?
Yes. My mother grew up here and moved away for a bit, but my pa, he ran off, so she decided to go back to the family. And, you know how that can be.
Yes, it is nice that you have a town that you can come home to.
Yes, we're a kind of a close-knit community.
Yes, that is good. What you must know then, what has been happening? It seems like this community was quite wealthy, and now it has been fallen.
I think changes in fishing. We have the harbor, but whaling and fishing. Well, things have changed. And he kind of glances around a little bit.
Like he's hoping somebody else will cover for him, or I can make a
see if
show
anybody
me
else is listening.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep. The fishing, but it is because of the competition, or there are no more fish, or
he just says, yeah, let me go get you some more coffee, and he scurries away.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't get his name, right? He doesn't have a...
No.
Okay.
He doesn't have a tag of any kind.
Hello, my name is... Good enough.
All right. Miss Riley, are you happy with reading your Bible?
I can't think of anything she would do other than that. So,
okay.
So I am.
All right. Mr. Ferrier and Mr. Yarborough.
We will find some dinner and find a quiet corner of town to park and wait until after dark.
Yeah, you do that.
I will practice my smoking.
And then we will leave the car someplace convenient and hopefully not out in the open, and take a walk back to the solicitor's office.
All right.
I assume, is it like a big building or just a
no,
office
it's
by
a,
itself?
It's a,
or?
It's a small little office by itself. It might have once been like a millinery shop or some other little storefront that he has turned into an office. So it has a large, what had been a display window, but now is painted, you know, with his name and a little advertisement for his, for wills written, trust funds set up.
The line. A discreet like alleyway in front or to the side, or we going to go through the window, Archie? That seems a little off.
No, we're not going through the window, Jacob. Don't worry. Are there any lights on?
There are not.
Is there anyone around?
Not that you see.
Is there a back door?
Make a luck roll.
Individual luck or party luck?
Party luck.
Yeah, that's the fun thing. Another thing about Jacob I meant to tell you before you took him along.
So you're, what, 27? Go ahead.
It's not
much better than mine, so.
I'm actually at 16. That's not updated. Oh. I haven't updated those notes, so. Let's see. A 14! We are lucky.
You are indeed lucky. Make your tick. you do find a back door.
Are we lucky enough that the back door is unlocked?
That was a good roll.
Yeah, I don't...
And this is a friendly place. It's not like old Innsmouth 2 miles away.
I don't honestly expect that to be the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Persuasive, but I don't think that a solicitor of any good sort, good character, would leave his back door open. So, no.
Okay, so I'm going to look around and make sure that there is no one around and bust the door open.
All right. I will say you wait till you see no one, and are you just battering it down, or are you trying to pick the lock?
Oh, no. Picking the lock is not going to work anyway. I'm just going to break it down.
All right. And your strength is?
60.
All right. Go ahead. Make a regular success. If you'd like to make a roll.
Where is the roll? There we go. That will be 59.
Oh, you do indeed break down the door.
Okay. Jacob, toss the secretary's desk, make as big a mess as you can, look for a cash box.
You got it, Archie.
And I will go into the solicitor's office and carefully, not making a mess, search through the file cabinets and see if I can find the will.
Okay. You do make your can make a spot hidden.
No, I cannot.
Ah. Well, you search, but perhaps.
But I think this is important, and I will feel very embarrassed if I don't find it. So I am going to spend 14 points of luck to make that a normal success.
All right. Well, in that case, you find that Mr. Grace had secreted it away, but you have moved the little blotting mat on his desk, and sure enough, there it was. And I can indeed read it to you. Let me just. It looks like it starts off with the manor house, the land on which it is built. Is left to Wilma Martin Nolan. Artistic works are to be divided between Emily's son, Edward Nolan, and his children. They are given permission for public display. All liquid assets and saleable stock are to be divided 40%, split evenly between the surviving children, and 60% to the Esoteric Order of Dagon under Edward Nolan's power of attorney. The contents of Emily's library is bequeathed in its entirety to the Esoteric Order of Dagon under her son August Nolan's power of attorney. All family records are to go to Emily's daughter, Wilma Martin Nee Nolan. All materials of religious significance are to go to Emily's daughter, Wilma Martin Nee Nolan. And lastly, a key to a safe deposit box at the East India Marine Merchants Bank of Innsmouth, and its contents of a letter, at least it references a letter, but you do not have one, is to be read privately to her great-grandchild, Jacob Yarborough.
What? You're searching somewhere else. We'll deal with this later.
That's a preview of my reaction.
Can you tell me if any of that? I'm trying to put this in the notes.
The part about Jacob being her grandson.
Okay.
I think that's the real takeaway here.
Yes.
Okay. Is the safe deposit box, the key, is it included or does
it? It is not.
Okay. So the key is somewhere else or he has it.
The key and the letter. Yes.
Okay. And I'm sorry. Okay. So there is a key and there is a key to a safe deposit box, but the letter is somewhere else too. It's not implying that the letter is in the safe deposit box.
No, no.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I kind of got that.
Yeah.
that impression too. Okay. So somewhere else there's a letter for Jacob and a key to a safe deposit box, and both of those things are for Jacob.
And missing or not present.
Not here. Okay. Okay. I will very carefully put the will back exactly as I found it. Did you find the cash box, Jacob?
Make a luck roll.
Did I indeed? A luck roll. All right.
I will say not a cash box, but it looks like Miss Edwards had a small, maybe petty cash. There's $2.73.
Okay.
Petty cash drawer.
I'm going to take a look around and make sure that Jacob made enough of a mess like it looked like he was looking for a cash box. Take the money, Jacob. Let's go.
Gosh, what if it's your own money? All right, all right.
It's fine. Higher cause and all that.
Oh, Jacob. Stanley would be so disappointed.
I would like to say the downward spiral has started here, but...
You think it started long ago, yeah.
Exactly. I think we're a few sessions in.
It did say what bank the safe deposit box was at?
It did. It's at the East India Marine Merchants Bank of Innsmouth.
Okay. And, sorry, one last thing. Did it happen to mention if the safe deposit box was in her name or in Jacob's name?
I believe it is in her name.
Okay. So that's going to be a problem. Okay. Well, forewarned is forearmed. So we'll make sure that Jacob made enough of a mess. Take the cash. Get out of here. Get in the car and go meet the ladies.
What you find back there, Archie? What you find?
Let's wait till we get to Innsmouth so we can all talk about this together. We need to. I don't want to have to talk about it twice.
Okay. All right. All right. You know best.
All right, you make your way to the hotel there in Innsmouth. A room is waiting for you.
We will find Miss Riley and Miss LaForge.
Ah, good evening. It is nice to see you. Did you have a nice time with the policeman?
We had an interesting time with the policeman. I think we need to talk.
Oh, yes. I've been reading the Bible about abominations.
And here we are.
Did you, when you were researching Miss Riley, you looked into Miss Nolan's family?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, her immediate family. I mean,
children? What about grandchildren?
No, there's over 30 grandchildren and... I couldn't even imagine how many great-grandchildren. They just have a lot of kids normally, apparently.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did the will say grandchild or great-grandchild?
I think great.
It was great-grandchild. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You don't happen to have a list of the grandchildren?
I don't know. Would I have had a list of my 0-3?
Not a complete list. You have some, but you don't have 30, although the obituary said that there were over 30 in Innsmouth and abroad.
Well, and beyond, actually.
Beyond.
So, that could be, you know, swimming. I have some names, but not all the names. There's just too many. I didn't have that much time.
So, not the best researcher. Okay. Jacob.
Sorry, what?
No, nothing. Never mind. It's fine. It's fine, Mr. Riley. It's fine. Jacob.
Yes, Archie.
Your parents.
Yep.
Who are your parents?
Oh, Cecily and John. Yeah, it's funny.
Cecily
you
and
ask about
John
them.
Yarbrough?
Yeah. I haven't talked about them recently, I guess. Yeah. You see, I grew up on this farm. Dad's a real hard worker, you know. Mom taught me there at home, you know, a little homeschooling. You know, he plowed the fields every Sunday, you know, just kept right on working throughout the week. And, you know, Mom, we'd go to church with Mom all the time. Golly, geez, what I kind of miss him, you know. Came up here to the big city and, yeah. Sorry, Cecily and John.
Do those names mean anything to you, Miss Riley? Are they on your list?
I don't know. Do you want me to do a luck roll to see if those names are on the list?
I'm sure.
That is at least a hard, maybe better still. Hold on. It's a hard success.
You may see a, like, not a Cecily, but maybe a Cecilia. Maybe.
Well, I mean, it's not specifically, but I mean, the names are close to it. I don't think I saw the name Yarborough, if that's what you're asking, right?
Well, it turns out that young Jacob here is Miss Nolan's great-grandson.
How wonderful.
Oh. What?
You'll be able to get all that family money? That'll be great for you.
Oh, it seems like some money is long gone, sadly.
Well, wow.
What are you talking about, Archie? Very run down.
Always nice to have family.
I don't know about money, but at the reading tomorrow, you are going to be given a key to a safe deposit box and a letter just for your eyes only.
Wow. I sit down on the edge of the bed. Who'd have thunk that? How are we related again?
Maybe it's money for your school so you can go back again.
Yeah, school's overrated.
Rot your brain.
David used to talk about school all the time. Look what happened to him. Poor guy.
Yarborough is now on the list as well.
Wow.
Great.
Wow. Well, did you find anything else about the will?
A lot of stuff is going to this, her fraternal organization, the Order of Dagon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the rest is just being divided amongst the kids.
I suppose I should ask, there's absolutely nothing probably in my memories or memories of mom or dad about any of this?
You would say that your mom never really spoke about her family, but focused on the here and now and being so glad to be where she was and how lucky she was to have found your dad.
He was pretty swell.
Very swell.
Well, I guess the reading tomorrow should be interesting.
Shocking.
Yes. Well, it's a good thing that we came. I wonder, do you think that editor of yours, is that why he sent you? I mean, this is quite a coincidence, no?
Well, you think Mr. Cleaver knows?
Well, he asked you specifically to come, no?
Well, he asked for all of us, right? I mean, it's we're his team.
Well, he did say he'd been doing research on her, though. I mean, yeah. He knew how old she was. Maybe he found out some other things as well. I mean, you don't have a college degree and you got hired by a newspaper. That's sort of unusual. Maybe he's always known.
So you guys are thinking like Archie here. Maybe there's something up with Mr. Cleaver?
Well, maybe, or maybe you're strange but true.
Well, there's definitely something up with Mr. Cleaver. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I mean, I guess all we can do is wait till tomorrow. We can't break into a bank, can we?
No.
Good choice.
Finally.
Hey,
we made one.
Yeah, we made one. We made it.
Somebody put that in the notes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with a car bomb, you could get into a bank, but the safe deposit box, the safe deposit might still be a little harder to get into. But
to not break into Bank receives Scooby snack.
Commendation.
You should highlight and bold and underline that one. Decides not to break into the bank.
Now we're talking strange but true.
Yeah.
Right, well, because, you know, when we misread the notes next week, we're going to be like, oh, and we're going to break into the bank, right?
Yeah. So we tried to skim them quickly for the recap.
All
right, so if it's in the afternoon, that'll give me a chance to buy some new shoes and a tie.
Yes.
Good luck with that.
I did not see any businesses. You would have to go to the next town over, I think.
I'm sure you're fine as you are, Jacob. It'll be fine.
Okay. Hey, you are family.
Yeah. What do you think she left me, guys? You think it's a gold watch?
Maybe it's never a special scholarship.
Special scholarship.
Yes. Given our run-ins with these Innsmouth folk, I'm sure it's nothing good.
Expectations.
Well, let's just get a good night's sleep, and tomorrow we'll find out.
Indeed. All right. So, you get a good night's sleep. Indeed, you do. And bright and early the next morning you wake up. Is there something you wish to do before
avoid the police?
Yeah.
Okay.
I suggest we keep a low profile, Jacob.
All right. So you go to the Nolan Manor House. As stated before, it's a large, a large five-story building, but the top three floors are pretty much demolished. There are a number of cars parked on the street, and you might see one or two people out on their stoops watching as a few people do file into the building. It smells terrible. It has the sweet smell of something rotting. You see that the house is, you enter the foyer and there are the ghosts of pictures that have been removed, just where the wallpaper has been discolored because it hasn't received sunlight, but there are no pictures to be found. Most of the furniture is shrouded in dust cloths. But there are people milling about. If there's any place you wish to look around at.
Jacob is looking for sure. Big old saucer eyes at everything that's coming and going, but
saucer eyes, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I can't think of anything particularly inside the manor, I mean.
Okay.
What I'm looking for, actually, now that I think about it, after he looks around for a little bit, is anyone with a family resemblance to himself, his mother or father?
Well, you would say most everybody in the room has a resemblance to each other, although not quite everybody. You do see Mr. Grace, and he seems to be talking to a very aged woman. She is rather serpentine-like woman. Her eyeballs are huge. Her nose is sunken, and if you look too closely, you might suspect that her fingers look webbed.
So don't do that.
Yes.
That's not like Mom.
There is a plump man who seems to be, he's strolling about. He's rather graceful on his feet for his roundness. It is he just has wisps of hair combed over and tiny spectacles perched on a puffy nose. He also has a black signet ring on his pinky finger, and just an amused smile plays about his face as, you know, he observes, like, the old dried up woman. You know, you can see her interact a little bit with the Mr. Grace, and he just kind of shrinks as she, you know, hisses at him and makes demands, and he just kind of shakes his head and quivers. And another well-dressed man, he's in a very dapper suit, comes in. He's got thick hair, and he's tanned. He looks rather more metropolitan than anybody else that you've seen here in Innsmouth, but there is a slight resemblance between him and some of the other, you know, a demeanor, kind of the way he shuffles maybe a little bit, but he has thick spectacles that make his eyes look a little watery, and he seems to have bathed in cologne, and they're kind of milling about a bit. There don't seem to be any pictures. It looks like everything has been stripped from the walls for the most bit. As you wander around a little bit, there is a library.
Is there, not that I would expect somebody who's a member of the Order to dig onto have this, but if this was like a normal person, I would be looking for like a large family Bible with a family tree in it.
No, there is not a family Bible.
Okay.
No.
I would like to try to find somebody who does not look like a member of the family and seems sort of here out of some sort of sense of obligation rather than here because they're part of the family.
There's three people I know right away besides yourself.
Yes, but I'm tired of those people.
There is the round man. Does not seem to share any of the other characteristics.
Well, yes, but he wants to be there, clearly. Like, he's walking around. He seems to know the woman talking to the attorney. I'm kind of looking for somebody, like, the innkeeper, you know, is here because, that family, you've got to show respect or your business will go under type thing. The owner of the grocery store, for example, might be here. Somebody like that.
No, you find that the old woman has a few scions that kind of are helping her move around, pushing her chair. A middle-aged, older-ish man who's rather angry, and you could tell he is also related. He comes in, but there is nobody who seems sad. Nobody seems to be there being obsequious to the new head of the family. They just seem to be waiting for the will to be read, and there is a tension between the siblings.
You know, with those thoughts and me looking around as well at the different people, is anyone looking at us particularly funny or aggressively or welcomingly or?
You have all been noted Mr. Grace certainly nods at you, and he whispers something into the elderly woman's ear, and she kind of wheels around and gives you the evil eye. The round gentleman kind of makes his way over, and he's just like, "Hi, I'm Billy Fold, an investigator. You don't seem to be part of this family."
Which one of us is he speaking to?
maybe all of you.
No, absolutely. We're here to support our friend Jacob. He's one of the great-grandchildren.
Oh, interesting. Oh, death is kind of a form of social chemistry. Watch reactions, things that rarely bring family together. And he kind of chuckles and...
Is this the guy who's got the signet ring on his pinky finger?
He does indeed.
What does this... Do I get a glance at that? Could I try to get a glance at that?
Go ahead.
No, but I will notice it and say, "Oh, what a lovely ring," and sort of grab his hand and take a look at it closely.
As you grab his hand, you do give a cursory look at the ring. It's a piece of onyx, kind of in an octagon shaped. But what is more interesting is there seems to be some kind of tattoo under his sleeve. You can't get quite a good look at it. Just something that peeks out just a little bit.
Is the ring marked with anything? Any sort of organization or?
No.
Okay, so it's just a black onyx ring.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, it's lovely. Where did you get this? And I will try to make chit-chat about his jewelry choices.
Oh, it was a gift from a dear friend. You have to be careful about those, you know.
Friends?
Gifts?
Both.
Well, so you work for the family then?
Oh, no. I'm a freelance writer. I make
you
some money.
You're an investigator.
Oh, no. Like an investigative journalist. Sometimes I sell obituaries. Sometimes I just look into interesting stories.
So you didn't happen to write the story, the obituary for the deceased here, did you?
Oh, no, I didn't. But I was interested to read it.
Interesting. And are you here in an official capacity now? Or a friend of family?
A friend. I did know Miss Nolan. We had a business relationship of sorts. I was sorry to see her go. I may be the only one.
Oh, that's so disappointing for her.
Well, we make choices in our lives. And
would I know any of your work? Has it been published anywhere?
Oh, here and there. I've worked ostensibly abroad.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So now I work at art in Miskatonic University. I work in the research department. I'm pretty sure if you just gave me even a token name, I might know it.
Oh, well.
We receive all sorts of international journals there.
Oh.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, so by asking this, like, I have never met a journalist who didn't want to tell me all the places they've been published. if I was interested in listening to what they were, where they've been published or what they'd done, like that's their life's work, is to get their stories out there. And the idea that this guy is sort of being secretive about his stories, I'm just trying to figure out, can I roll a psychology? Is he trying to deliberately be evasive? Is he trying to cover something up? Is he just not very bright?
Oh, please.
I will burn 8 to make that a success.
He is being purposefully evasive. You're not sure that he could even name any journals.
Okay, well then I will continue to let that conversation wind down, and assumably he will flaunt off to somewhere else to talk.
He does. He flits about a little bit. Mr. Grace, he seems to be growing increasingly uncomfortable, and he announces, if we could just all assemble in the dining room, then I'll read the will.
Can I ask one quick question before we do that? When Archie rather loudly dropped that bomb about me being related, I was just I kind of gave him a look, and did anyone else seem to look my way, either interestedly or angrily?
They may have given you a glance, but I'm not sure if they were taking him seriously.
Okay, perfect.
Certainly, they've not seen you in town before. But as you are not the only stranger in the room, it's kind of where they're at. Okay. So as one of you read last night, the manor house is given to the daughter, and they go through, he goes through all of the items of the will, and you can see that they're generally pleased. They are kind of chortling in approval at the split up of the money. There's actually a little bit of a polite clapping when they mentioned that 60% of the money is going to the Order of Dagon, and there's more approval about the library. And then when he gets to a key to the safe deposit box, there is dead silence. And
is Mr. he holding Grace, the key in his hand? I'm sorry.
He's just like, and Mr. Yarborough is here, I believe. Sir, if you wish to go to the conservatory with me, your grandmother did, your great-grandmother did ask the letter to be read to you privately.
I kind of clear my voice, stand up, and look at my shoelaces and shuffle off to him.
I'm gonna go with him.
Ladies?
If so have me. Yeah. This is very exciting, Mr. Yarborough.
I will not. I will actually sort of go and find some tea or something and try to listen in on what I'm sure is some fervent mumblings about this thing. This new Indeed. Revelation.
All right. So he brings you out to the conservatory, and he kind of, whew, well, almost done now. And he pulls letter out of his pocket. Would you like me to read it? To you, Mr. Yarborough, I know that was the instruction, but if you wish to read it yourself, I understand.
Well, he can't read. It would be good.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Grace, if you are reading this letter, I have died, and you are in the company of my great-grandchild. I cannot assume this individual is literate, so I am reliant on your imparting the contents of this letter faithfully. My descendant is likely unaware of their birth and heritage. They carry the blood of the Nolan lineage and all that it entails. We Nolans suffer from an incurable degenerative condition. This may seem...
I look at my hands quickly. What?
This may seem strange given my apparent age at the time of my death, yet the degeneration is not one that consumes a life. Rather, it changes its course. My descendant, as all my descendants, will ultimately transform into a new and terrible form. I discovered a way to stave off this unwanted fate, but I care not to share this remedy with my other wretched progeny. I would have kept it from even my great-grandchild were it not for their errant path from the family and the order. Know that the remedy is found in my left hand, excised before my death, and my meeting with you, Mr. Grace. The key imparted to your safekeeping will lead my nominated descendant to my mummified hand and the device within it.
Oh dear.
This device will preserve their youth and humanity, but they will not know how to work it without aid from the alchemist. I cannot state the exact course in writing for fear of this missive being compromised, but know that the alchemist will be watching and waiting for my descendant when they retrieve my missing hand from the bank deposit box. He will come to you, and you shall learn of his wisdom. None of my other children should receive or claim the device within my missing hand. If necessary, I implore my descendant to take measures to prevent another from spiriting this treasure away. Destroying it is not advised, as to do so would be to snub the very power of the gods. Tell my great-grandchild to use this power selfishly. Tell my descendant to trust not a single member of the Nolan family. I include myself in this declaration, for I have let the blood of others flow and murdered to remain whole in my form. I have lived more than anyone ought. They must know that the only truth I've written is this one. If they do nothing, they will transform and become Dagon's child. This boon I grant solely to them and their own children and none others. Let the order rot and the rest of my family with them. Let the mother take me. I am ready. Emily Nolan.
There is a chair in the conservatory. I will sit on it. If not, I will sit on the ground.
There is some wicked chairs.
Jacob, this is quite the letter.
Well, it looks like you have some decisions to make.
Condition. Oh, what? Where's this key?
He hands you a small key with the number 313 inscribed on it.
Thank you. May I have that letter?
Yes.
How long ago did you read this?
I was to read it when her death was reported to me, so I read it April 6th.
And who did you tell about this?
Nobody. This was the first public reading.
All right, that's going to be a psychology roll.
Go ahead.
And that's going to be a fail.
He seems completely earnest. Anybody in the room may make a spot hidden.
Not so very successfully.
Forgot I was in the room for a second.
Extreme success.
There you go.
That's a fail for me. Yep.
Somebody's doing their job.
That's right.
You do see Mr. Fold kind of strolling around in the backgrounds, and he looks back at the house and gives you all a little bow.
Is that through a window?
Yes, it's through the window of the conservatory.
So the conservatory is just a big glass room, right?
Yes.
I'm going to lean in and whisper to Jacob so that hopefully only he can hear me. Mm-hmm. You might want to let me hold that key for you.
I will hold it tighter and look up at him. What?
Okay. I'm just saying.
You may also make a listen roll.
That is not a success either.
Normal success for Jacob.
There is
a hard success.
Definitely some scurrying in the hallway outside.
Rats. Oh.
Oh yes, rats.
Rats in the hall.
I will, I guess after hearing the scurrying, sort of leap up and see if I can peek around the corner quickly.
You throw up in the door, and who you now know is Edward Nolan, the youngest of the children, or your great uncles. He beams at you, and he's just like, ah, well, a long-lost member of the family. It is so good to have family. It's good to know the importance of family. And how we support and protect one another. And he kind of oils his way up to you.
I look him up and down and stride for the front door.
How thick was the door that he was potentially listening at? Like, is it likely that they were able to hear through, or is it?
The whole house is falling apart.
Okay, so yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we should get you out of here, Jacob.
Sorry, which Mr. Nolan was that?
The youngest of the Nolans. It was Edward.
Youngest of the sons, not...
Yes.
Yep.
The youngest of all of them.
Aside from the great... You mean of, including the great-grandchildren?
Well, no, the youngest of the living children.
Of the first generation, so yeah, right, yes. Okay, yeah.
So yeah, I'll head for the front door and get to the sidewalk and kind of pace up and down there, expecting at some point for my friends to show up, but definitely not interested in having a conversation with anyone else in this room or house.
All right. Well, let's save these other conversations and what comes next for next week.
Cool.
All right. Nice bomb.
Boom.
So we go back to Arkham, though, right?
Immediately.
No, we have to go. Where's the bank again? The bank is in. Is here, right?
Well, we don't have to go to the bank. I mean, if Jacob wants to, that's his business. But...
Well, I will go with. I would definitely stick with Jacob. I'm gonna see this through.
The words "degenerative condition" are ringing loudly in my ears.
Yeah, but not deadly, apparently.
No, just painful.
Just painful. Well, maybe you might live to 120.
Maybe we should do a dissection now.
Yeah.
You were just saying that you wanted to live for a long time. I'm
sure I said that. That's true.
Indeed.
A lot of punch.
Punching, I could get in. Think of all the professors they would. They've got it coming.
Right. Each year, a new class of professors could get punched by you. It's perfect.
That's right. That's right.
Well, lovely. Lovely.
Thank you, Rachel. This was fun.
Good. Good. Thank you.
Surprising.
Yeah. Looking at those luck scores, I had to make some decisions.
There we are. Here we are.
All right. I'll see you all next week.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Good.
Bye. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.